Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, as we look at America's Declaration of Dependence. Psalm 33, starting in verse 12, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse's vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Look at verse 12 one more time. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." Having had the privilege of traveling in 60-some different countries of the world, in my estimation, there is no place like America. It is the greatest nation on earth. And if you agree with that, let's thank God by giving applause to him. Now, friends, I realize this morning that as a nation, we are far from perfect. And yes, we have our many faults. Yet in spite of these many shortcomings, we have been mightily blessed of God. Try to imagine for a moment, if you will, what kind of a world we would live in today had there been no United States of America. What if this nation never existed? There would have been no one to turn back the rise of the Nazis and their allies in World War II. There would be no one to stand up against the tyranny of communism, enslaving the lives of untold millions around the world. There would have been no one to stand up for the small nations, lacking the ability to defend themselves. Then the billions of dollars in aid that we've sent around the world to help those in times of need, feeding and clothing and doing all that we can to provide for those that are without. As a nation, our missions endeavors to take the message of Jesus Christ around the world has been absolutely second to none. There is no other nation that has ever done anything like what America has done. So why has America then been able to accomplish these things? Friends, I believe it is because our national foundation from the very beginning was purposely based upon God and God's word. It was from God's word that our initial laws were written and formed, teaching us what would be right and what would be wrong. And that responsibility accompanies God's bounty. We learn these truths from the book that our country is called our book. Yes, it is based upon the Bible. Thomas Jefferson, he declared, "The Bible is the cornerstone of American liberty." Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States, he says, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic stands." Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, stated, "In all the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for this book, that is the Bible, we could not know right from wrong. All the things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are found in it." Tomorrow, Lord willing, we as a nation will celebrate our 240th anniversary of birthday. It is known as Independence Day. In 1776, our founding fathers framed a document as we know it today as the Declaration of independence. The preamble reads this way: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." We often forget, in declaring independence from an earthly power, our forefathers made a direct declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. The closing words of the Declaration of Independence declare, "With firm reliance on protection of divine providence," there it is, "we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." This vital document is not only a declaration of independence from a foreign tyranny, it is also a clear and unwavering declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. I want you to consider with me for a few moments America's spiritual heritage. You see, the revisionists would like you to believe that America has no spiritual roots, that yes, they believed in a God, that it was a, you know, kind of a theoretical thing when talking about God Almighty. But I want to prove to you this morning, America's roots run deep into the Scripture and deep into the Word of Almighty God. Back in 1620, go all the way back now, this is long before the United States became a nation. Back in 1620, before the men and women ever disembarked from the Mayflower, they drafted and signed what is called the Mayflower Compact. I want you to listen to its words. "In the name of," let's fill in the blank together, because I really wanted to resonate inside of your heart. "These are the roots of America, and let no one rob you of these things." Here's what it says. "In the name of," amen, which means so be it, "having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together." Notice there, in the name of God, for the glory of God, for the advancement of the Christian faith. Before they ever got off the boat, they said, "This new nation, this undertaking is for God's glory and for the advancement of the kingdom of Almighty God." In 1643, so 23 years later from this document, from the time they got off the Mayflower, the New England Confederation drafted a constitution stating the following: "Whereas we came into all of these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our," what? Say it. "Lord Jesus Christ." Notice here, it's not just some theoretical, it's not just some God thing. He's spelling out, and they're spelling out clearly, "We have come, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and with peace." Friends, America's earliest beginnings all point to a national dependence upon God. William Penn knew the importance of being ruled by God when he wrote, he said, "If you are not governed by God, you will be ruled by tyrants." He says this in 1681. If you are not governed by God, you know, that's a great warning to any nation, and especially our nation. If you're not governed by God, you will be ruled by what? Say it. By tyrants. That's right. And I believe he was right in his assessment. The Liberty Bell, which has become the national symbol of freedom, has cast within its bronze bell, "Proclaim liberty through all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." This was not some poem made up by man. When they chose to place this upon the Liberty Bell, it comes from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10 of the Old Testament. So they went back to the Word and they said, this national symbol, every time it rings out as a clarion call, it's going to be a reminder that we believe the Word of the Lord and that liberty ought to be proclaimed through all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. The Declaration of Independence, when you begin to read it carefully, you'll discover that there are four specific references to our national dependence upon God. It refers to God as our creator, to the life giver of this nation, to the one that is going to sustain us, and the one that one day will judge all of us. There is a declaration of dependence that is directly related to the writing of the Declaration of Independence. Now let me prove this out further. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, many of these signers had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. William Ellery, one of the signers, he often used the expression, "The Lord reigneth," when referring to the world's conditions. He was deeply religious as a man, and he knew that God reigned over the nations of the world. And so whenever there was friction, whenever there was tension, whenever there was worry, whenever there was fret, it is said that William Ellery, he was one that would speak up and say, "The Lord reigneth." Aren't you glad to know that God still reigns? Aren't you glad to know He's in His heaven and He is still watching over the nations of the world? Yes, as Ellery says, "The Lord reigneth." Charles Thompson is another of the signers. He was asked one day, "Of what religious sect do you belong?" And he responded, "Of none. I am a Christian. I believe only in the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ, my Savior." Yes, again, we find here it's not some kind of general term for God out there somewhere, but rather he is saying, "I believe and I put my faith and my hope. I am a Christian. I believe in the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ, not just the Savior." He said, "in my Savior." That's Charles Thompson. Well, what about Benjamin Franklin? He is one of the key authors and signers of this document we know as the Declaration of Independence. He declared, here's what he says, "Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, and that he ought to be what? Worshipped." Friends, these are statements of deep faith and commitment. In the Constitutional Framing Convention, it was Benjamin Franklin that made the following motion for prayer. Here's what he prayed and what he asked for. He says, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs that I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can arise without his aid?" Friends, America has been mightily blessed with a rich spiritual heritage. Our nation was begun clearly with God. And friends, I am convinced this morning that the only way we will survive as a nation as if we will continue on and will embrace the Lord our God. Now here's why. First of all, God is the source of America's freedom. You know, friends, freedom is the closest thing to the heart of God. When you read in the Bible and you read about the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden and the separation from God, sin always separates. God immediately went about the business of trying to reconcile man back to himself, to bring them out of the bondage of sin and back into relationship with himself. I want you to understand, the Bible says freedom then is directly related to God. And if you remove God out of the equation, you will not have the type of freedom and the freedoms that God intended for an individual or for a nation if you push God out. God universally stands for liberty, and he stands for freedom. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And God wants you free. He wants you free from the bondage of sin. He wants you free from the things of this world that would somehow destroy and wreck your relationships and your home, your life, and your future. God is a God of freedom. World history proves the closer a nation walks with God, the greater the freedom and the liberties they will enjoy. But the opposite of this is also true. Take a look at the nations that once believed in God, but have rejected God, and see what they have today. In Scripture, you will read how Israel, when Israel would draw back from God, abandon God, they would lose their freedom time and time again. Go back, reread your Old Testament. And within the history of the people of God in the Old Testament, you'll find the Assyrians come in 721 BC, and they conquer the Israelites, followed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, and the Persians in 530, and the Romans after that. And you'll discover that the Middle East has been just kind of a hodgepodge, one coming in, taking over. But in every case, you'll discover that it was judgment that God was saying, if you won't listen to me, if you do not want me in your life, you do not want me in national life, and you push me out, then you can have what's left over. And the enemy would come on time and time again and would take them as captives. I believe that Israel and America have a lot in common. You say, well, how is that, Pastor? I'll tell you. I believe they were both brought out of bondage to proclaim the blessings of God to a lost world. Just as Israel was brought out of Egypt, brought out of Babylon, brought out of Assyria, brought out of all these times of captivity, God brought them out for a purpose. And as we have just read, the men and women that boarded the Mayflower and the other ships that came, they came knowing and longing for a place where they could worship God, where they could worship him in spirit and in truth, and that they could, without fear, advance the kingdom of Almighty God. That is the purpose for which they came. And I believe America and Israel have a lot in common in that sense. We're both brought out of Egypt, brought out of you know, the background of having forces and pressure placed upon us spiritually, that we might be a blessing to a lost and dying world. Now, political scientists tell us that democracies historically have not stood the test of time. They will tell you that most have collapsed into chaos and anarchy anytime between about 200 and 300 years into the process. They would say that beyond 300 years, there's really no democracy that has really stood the test of time. I would like to challenge that outcome this morning. You see, I believe if America will ever lose its freedom, it will be because we first and foremost have abandoned our God. As a nation, we must renew our dependence upon Almighty God as the very source of our national liberty and of our freedoms. It is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secondly, America is dependent upon God for her guidance. The first American Congress in 1777. This first meeting of Congress opened with the following prayer. Listen carefully as I read it. O Lord, our Heavenly Father. Notice there's relationship here. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, who reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments, look down in mercy on these American states who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring henceforth to be dependent only on thee. Isn't that good? first prayer in the first Congress, seeking the face of God, I have a picture that was given to me of this event. It's an amazing picture, and I realize it is not a photograph, it is a drawing, it is a painting, but it shows everyone in the House of Congress kneeling before God, praying this prayer. Desiring henceforth to be dependent only on thee, they have appealed for the righteousness of your cause. Give them wisdom and counsel and valor on the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of this honorable assembly, that order and harmony and peace may effectively be restored, religion and piety prevail and flourish amongst thy people, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits, listen to this, of, say it with me, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior. Amen. That was the first prayer. It is the way they started the very first gathering of the legislators in our country. In our early years of infancy as a nation, it's plainly evident when you begin to read through the documents, these men had no idea, these women had no idea what this nation would fully become. But they did know one thing. They knew how to seek the face of God to make sure that the decisions that were being made in the state house represented the laws of God from heaven, and that things would be done in a godly fashion, a godly way, and that there would be peace and there'd be order and there'd be harmony in the process as well. Pastor friend of mine, let me fast forward. That prayer I just read was from 1777. Let me fast forward to recent time. A very dear pastor friend of mine was asked to pray not long ago at the state capitol here in Madison, Wisconsin. It is a cursory kind of thing. It's something they do before they start out their day, most days as they begin the business of our state. He told me, he said, his prayer seemed like a needless interruption to the day's business. His amen, he said, was like saying play ball at the conclusion of the national anthem at a sporting event. It was like, now that's out of the way. The nonsense is out of the way. This God thing is now done. Let's do the real stuff, the business for which we've come. Friends, I would say to you this morning, we need God in America. We need God in every decision that is made. We need God in America again, like they declared in 1777. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 gives us a wonderful promise. If my people, which are called by my name, notice it's not addressed to the world. It's not addressed to the sinner. This is for the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Thirdly, America is dependent on God for its protection. Friends, the security of our nation rests not in our technology. The B-2 bomber, the Star Wars defense system, neutron bomb. Our only true security as a nation is in the Lord. You see, if God is our protector, then we are secure. However, if God is not our protector, all the military might, all the strength, all the technology in the world cannot save us. You know, Israel is a living example of this truth. The Six-Day War of 1967, some of you have read the book, and it talks about Amongst Lions is the title of the book by Robert Moskins. And he begins to document some of the great battles and wars that have been fought in Israel. The Six-Day War of 1967, the plan was to annihilate, to drive Israel into the sea. A little nation about the size of Rhode Island, surrounded by enemies, and the numbers are so out of whack, there's no way the number of tanks, number of aircraft, the number of men on the ground against this little nation of Israel in 1967. Here's what they discovered, however. You see, if God is with you, no matter what the numbers are against you, you will always prevail. And though they were outgunned, they were out-tanked, they were out in every way outnumbered, they found Egyptian tanks, and this is all documented. This is not just stories. It is documented. They found scores and scores of tanks from Egypt, fully fueled, full of munition. So I'm saying they're running, idling on the ground. They're full of munition. The hatch opened, and the Egyptian soldiers got out and ran for their lives. Once captured, they asked them, why is it you left perfectly good military hardware that had fuel, had munition? Why did you leave it? They said, how can we fight against God? We saw above each and every one of you, we saw angels. They didn't even know what to call them. We saw these beings on white horses with swords drawn above your heads. And in fear, they opened their tank and they got out and left. Let me tell you, when God is on your side, when God is with you, little is much when God is in it, amen? And God can turn things around. And many of you that are in this room this morning, you were not there at the Six-Day War of 67, nor the Yom Kippur War in Israel in 73, but you have fought on foreign fields. And you know, you have been there, and you have seen the good hand of God come to our aid. You have seen the protection of the Lord. You have seen it over your ship. You've seen it over your base. You've seen it over fellow soldiers. God has been incredibly good to America. And when God is on your side, it makes no difference what the technology or the numbers are against you. God's always in the majority. God will always bring you through to victory. I believe it's time for America to reaffirm its dependence upon God for our national security. Last of all, America is dependent upon God for its prosperity. Abraham Lincoln once said this, listen to the words of the 16th president. I recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all of history that those nations only, notice what Abraham Lincoln says, those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Much of the world looks upon our nation with a sense of awe. You see, friends, we have universally been blessed nearly above all other nations. There are some nations, if you look at the wealth per capita, they are nations that may have greater wealth per capita, but they are very small nations, nations of 4 million, nations that are even smaller than that. But our nation, with the masses that we have, when you look at the universal level of life that we have here, yes, there are some way on the top, and yes, there's some that are way at the bottom. I understand that. I'm saying in general terms, search the world over, and you'll not find a nation of this size where the middle class and where the most have the best life of anywhere on this planet. And for that, we should thank God. and not only thank God, but realize how so much of the world looks upon our nation with a sense of awe. They look to us and they wonder, how is it you're so mightily blessed? However, rather than thanking and praising God for these many blessings, we have prided ourselves in our technology and in our work ethic. We say we're smart. And thank God for the technology of the day. Thank God for the herbicides, the pesticides, and all of the things that help us, and the tractors, and you know, the discs and plows and planters and reapers, and all of this that has made America the breadbasket, not only of the nation, but of the world. And for that, once again, we pride ourselves and say, yeah, we did it. Friends, we need to understand, and I believe we do here this morning, that without God, nothing prospers. You can labor, but without God, there is no produce. You can sow, but if God does not send the rain, does not send the sunshine, there is no reaping. It's all in God's hand. You see, God is the one. The Bible says, promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. America's promotion has not come because we're wise or smart. It's come because God has been good. And I would say God has been good to us in spite of our lack of being thankful and our lack of recognizing Him. As a nation, friends, we must renew our dependence upon Almighty God, our dependence upon Him for our prosperity, for our protection, for our privileged way of life that we all have come to enjoy. There is a prayer that I came across many years ago. It was actually in 1976. It was for our 200th celebration. Listen to what it says. It's titled, A Prayer for Our Nation. Lord, while for all mankind we pray, of every clime and coast, hear us for our native land, the land we love the most. O guard our shores from every foe, with peace our borders bless. With prosperous times our cities crown, our fields with plentiness. Unite us in sacred love of knowledge, truth, and thee, and let our hills and valleys shout the songs of liberty. Lord of the nations, thus to thee our country we commend. Be thou her refuge and her trust, her everlasting friend. I think that's a great prayer for America.